So think with me. Imagine, and again, you can put it in whatever time period you want, but imagine a kingdom, and this kingdom that had a king, that king also served as a judge. And so imagine you found yourself in that kingdom and guilty of some breaking some law. And so you stand before this king who is also the judge, and you're guilty. And so he declares what your punishment is, and in this particular case, it's a fine. And you don't have the money to pay that fine. And so imagine, and this is kind of like way out there, kind of crazy thinking, okay? So imagine then that judge, who is also the king, stepping away from the bench, taking off his robe, reaching into his pocket, and paying the clerk your fine. Now see, what he did was he didn't violate the law, because the just demands of the law were met, but he paid your penalty for you. Wouldn't that be kind of crazy? And you might think, nobody would ever do that. And perhaps you're right. But think about that. And then let's take it a step further. Not only that king, who is also the judge, paid your fine, but also adopted you into his family, so that you are a co-heir with the rest of his biological children, equal with them. You know, you think, what in the world? No way. That's crazy. That's kind of crazy, isn't it? That somebody would do something like that, and you think, no way. No way. That's just nuts. I believe that's what John is trying to get us to see here in John chapter 3 and verse 1. Really, kind of that gut punch of God's great love for us. And keep in mind that God did this for us in a far greater way. But even if a human were to do something even similar, we'd be blown away. But God did that and much more. Let's pray, and then we'll dig into the text this morning. Father, thank you for your love and care for us. Thank you, Lord, for being the great God and just ruler, that also, for those of us who placed our faith and trust in you, have been forgiven and also brought into the family of God. We just can't get over it, Lord. Thank you. Help us to understand your word here this morning, Lord, and use your word and your spirit to make us different than when we came. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. I do apologize. This is going to drive me nuts. I've got some Kleenex in here. As distracting as that's going to be, it's going to be far more distracting if I pretend like it's not there. Okay. So this morning we're gonna see that God's great love made us children. I mean, think of it. His great love made us children. And so let's look at 1 John chapter 3, and we'll begin in verse 1 to get this idea, and then we'll break it down further. So in verse 1, John says, "See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us." And again, if we're not careful, we can kind of just read over that. But it should be kind of shocking. He's trying to tell us, listen to how crazy big God loves us. I mean, think about how over the top his love for us is. That he would make us his children. Can you imagine that? And again, think about it. I mean, it's one thing that he forgave us. You know, Jesus could have paid our penalty and we could be right with God, and that could have been it. But God went over the top. He not only took care of our sin and paid the penalty, but then he adopted us into his family. And so John is really saying, how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we would be called the children of God. And such we are. You ever think about that? Now keep in mind, some people think that we're all God's children. You know, and in a very generic sense, that's true, that we have a relationship with the Creator as his creation. But relationally, it's only true of people who place their faith and trust in Jesus for their salvation that they can be called the children of God. So not everybody's a child of God. And we're going to see that because John's going to contrast the children of God with everybody else, with what he calls the world here in a moment. But again, do you kind of sense the thrust of this? How great, I mean, how over the top, how crazy big is God's love that he would call us his children? And such we are. Isn't that amazing? God allows us to have a relationship with him as his children. He didn't just forgive us. He didn't just save us from our sins, but he also brought us into his family where we can have a relationship with him. So God's great love made us his children, and as his children, first of all, we're going to see that the world rejects us. And that really shouldn't come as a surprise, should it? In the rest of verse 1 there, he says, just that, for this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Think of how the world treated Jesus. Think of how the world rejected him. You know, in fact, we're told in John's Gospel, chapter 15, and verse 18, Jesus says, if the world hates you, speaking to his disciples, you know that it hated me before it hated you. The world, by and large, didn't get who Jesus was. They didn't understand who he was. They didn't understand what he came to do. And more than that, they rejected him. And so as God's children, we can expect the world to not get us. We can expect them to reject us as well. And this idea of world here, we have to understand the meaning of this word based on the context, because the Bible uses that word world to refer to different things. For instance, the world could be like this globe that we walk on, right? The world that we live on. It could be referring to that satanically organized world system, but here, I think we're to understand it like John 3:16, for God so loved the world, you know, not the sphere, not that satanically organized world system, but the people of the world. So those who are not children of God because they place their faith and trust in Christ are the people that we're talking about here. They didn't get Jesus, they're not going to get us. They don't understand what makes us tick. They don't understand why we do the things that we do. They don't understand that God is our priority. But that's okay. You know, if it's good enough for our master, it ought to be good enough for us too. So again, God's great love made us children, and really as his children, the world rejects us. But listen to the next point. As his children, we will be glorified. You know, as I'm sharing this with you today, kind of dealing with this cold, and again, I don't want anybody to be too nervous. It went through my family, and can't remember if both my boys or just one of them was tested. I really don't believe it's COVID. I have what they had, and they didn't have COVID, so hopefully that can set your mind at ease a little bit. But even think of all of that. Think of COVID. Think of the aches and pains that you wake up with. You know, my wife is dealing with some stuff right now physically. We don't know if these treatments that she's taking will fix the problem that she's having. But all this pain and yuck and all of it, you know what? It's not going to be forever. It's not going to last forever. Listen to verse 2. He says, "Beloved," and again, notice how tender he is with these believers, calling them beloved. Now, we are children of God. I want you to do something else, too, as we're going through this. Pick up on the different tenses of these words here. Beloved, now we are children of God. You see, for those of us who placed our faith and trust in Jesus, that happened, right? We call that justification. That's that past tense part of our salvation. We are right now children of God. And it has not appeared as yet what we will be. Now we're looking at the future, right? So we are right now the children of God. But it's not yet appeared what we will be. He says, we will know, or we know that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him just as he is. This is referring to a time that we call the rapture. We know that there is a time coming. And it could be this very day. I don't know. We need to understand that if somebody tells you they know the day, you're not to listen to them, because Jesus, when he was here on earth in his earthly ministry, he said that he didn't even know. Only the Father knew. Now in his glorified state, I'm sure he knows. But while he was here in his earthly ministry, he didn't even know. And so, you know, first of all, we don't know when it's going to happen. And if somebody says they know, then they're lying. But it's imminent. In any minute, it could happen. First Thessalonians chapter 4 tells us a little bit about what this rapture is going to be like. It says that those who are dead in Christ, they will rise first. Those of us who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them and meet the Lord in the air and be with him forever. I mean, isn't that a cool picture? And probably those who are dead in Christ will rise first, because they have a little further to go. They're either buried in the ground or buried at sea or wherever they are. And then those of us who are still alive and remain will be caught up together with them. But again, the order isn't super important, because it all happens super fast. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says it's going to happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I mean, it's super fast. Not the blink of an eye, as fast as that would be, but even the twinkling of an eye, super, super fast, that's going to take place. We're going to be with the Lord, and we're going to be changed forever. Changed. Those of us who place our faith and trust in Jesus, isn't that good news? Isn't that great? I mean, it just keeps getting better and better. First of all, I'm still blown away that God not only dealt with my sin, not only paid for it so as not to go against his justice and his holiness and his righteousness. He paid for that. Jesus paid for it with his own blood, so the righteous demands of the law were met. I'm forgiven, I'm justified, but I'm also his child. I enter into a relationship with him. And so the rapture is the resurrection for believers, for Christians, right? And this is all going to happen in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We're gonna be changed. And listen to this. It says we are children of God, and we're being transformed, and one day we will be perfected. Okay, not this side of glory. Remember what Paul told the Philippians in chapter 1 and verse 6, he said, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus, right? Isn't that great? The God who justified us through faith and is now sanctifying us and making us right now more and more like Jesus will one day finish what he started. I don't know about you, but I can't wait for that. I'm glad this isn't all there is. We can endure a lot here and now in light of then and there. We will see him just as he is, because we will be like him. We will be transformed. Now, there's some debate as to what that's referring to exactly, but it could be that Jesus right now, in all of his glory, would be too much to look at. You know, think about it. I mean, throughout the Bible, we do have, you know, pre-incarnate, that is, before Jesus became a man, in the Old Testament, we see some times where God appeared to people in the form of a man, but nobody can look at the holiness of God and survive. I mean, we would be annihilated by his glory, right? I mean, he is that big and that holy. And again, you know, we see Old Testament examples where a little, you know, he can reveal himself in a little glimpse here or in a little glimpse there. But right now, we're not equipped to see this Jesus as he is right now. But that day we'll be equipped. That day we'll be able to see him just as he is. You know, now we have to understand too, especially as we're getting into the Christmas season, we think of Jesus as this little baby in a manger, and that's fine. That happened, and that's important to remember that. You know, when we think of his earthly ministry, and perhaps we think of different movies or different TV shows that kind of portray Jesus in a particular light, and that's fine too. But make no mistake about it, that Jesus right now that is in heaven is not some, you know, little baby, and he's not some, you know, mamsy-pamsy kind of guy. He is mighty. I mean, he, we can look at Revelation. I mean, we can see how powerful and mighty he is. But when this happens, we'll be able to see him as he is, because we will be like him. Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful? We'll be able to see him as he is, and we will be like him. Now, make no mistake about it, we're never going to be Jesus. We're never going to be God. Some people have the mistaken idea that somehow we can be gods. That's not what the Bible teaches at all. But it does teach that we are to be more Christ-like. We are to look more like him in his character. I mean, there are certain things that God doesn't share with anybody, right? I mean, he is eternal. He is all powerful, all knowing, self sufficient, self sustaining. We're never going to be any of that. But we should be growing more and more in love, more and more holy, more and more in righteousness. But there's the day when that process will be complete, when the God who justified us and is now sanctifying us will one day glorify us. You know, somebody said it's almost as though God the Father loves the Son so much that he wants to populate heaven with a bunch of people that are like him, you know, and that, again, if we take that too far, we can get into some error. But that's kind of the idea. We want to be more and more like Jesus. We want to look more and more like him in character. So God's great love made us his children. And as his children, the world's going to reject us. That's okay. We wouldn't expect anything less. It rejected him. As his children, we will one day be glorified. And that day could be soon. But listen to this. Also, as his children, we have hope that purifies. Isn't that great? It's good to study the doctrine of future things. But we need to do it the right way. Do you understand that God doesn't reveal what's going to happen in the future to simply appease our curiosity? Do you realize that? You know, we shouldn't read the book of Revelation and study the, you know, eschatology, the doctrine of the future, and say, you know, I always wanted to know how that was going to work, and now I know. It's meant to purify us. It's meant to make us more and more like Jesus. Look at verse 3 here. It says, "And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure." Isn't that great? When we're living every day in light of that day, it's going to have an impact on us. Did you wake up this morning and think about the fact that Jesus could come back today? I have to confess to you that I've been working on this text, and I've been studying this out, and I know the content of this text. I'm excited to preach this text, but I didn't even do that this morning. Do you think it would have any impact on us if we continually thought of Jesus coming back for his church? It certainly would have a purifying effect. You know, even just a practical way. Think about it. There are some things that we may find ourselves doing in secret. Maybe some things that we might find ourselves doing, you know, in the privacy of our own minds. But to realize Jesus could come back right now. Do I really want to be found doing this or that or the other thing, knowing that he can come back right now? Now, let me tell you, I think it'd be kind of cool to be doing this, you know, when he came back. But think about it. I mean, if we're continually thinking about Jesus, we're continually, and again, not just a piece of curiosity, but the reality of this relationship that we have with God as his children, I mean, that blows our minds already. And then realizing that he's going to finish that work that he started in us, and it's going to happen at the time of the rapture. And when it happens, we're going to be with him. He's going to come back for us. Having a proper understanding of the future will have a purifying effect on us. It does have a purifying effect on us, right? So, again, and we're not going to keep going, but God's great love made us his children, and that should just blow your mind. And as his children, the world's going to reject us. And that's okay. It rejected Jesus. We will be glorified. Right? And we could even talk about what that might look like and compare it to what Jesus' glorified body was like. But I don't think we'll spend the time to do that now. And then also we have that hope that purifies. I wanted to share just one more verse with you. Do you remember Hebrews chapter 11, that great faith chapter? We have all those examples of godly men and women who have gone before us. And then after we leave kind of the hall of faith, we get into the 12th chapter. And it says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God," or the right hand of the throne of God. It's kind of that idea, right? Focusing on him, looking to him, realizing that the promises that he made are going to come true. He could come back this very moment. What a love. What a love to be called the children of God. And later on, as we continue in our study, we're gonna see even further what kind of the family, you know, sort of the marks of what it means to be in the family, and that is love. God is a great God of love. God demonstrates his love in a mighty way, and later on we're going to see as his children, we too need to love. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your love and care for us. Thank you for the truth of your word, Lord. I pray that we would continue to take to heart the fact that you are going to finish what you started. Thank you, Lord, for those of us who placed our faith and trust in Jesus, that we are your children, and we have been justified, and we are being sanctified. And someday, maybe soon, we'll be glorified. Help us to live this day in light of that day. In Jesus' name, and for his glory, amen.